With Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone, and Randy, here at the legislative forum that you guys put on here today, a lot of different bills focusing on a lot of different areas. Let's hit on a few here that are priorities for Indiana Farm Bureau. What do you see as some of the biggest things that you guys are focusing on this time around?
Well, I just say to start with, it's just trying to focus on agriculture and making sure the legislators here at our luncheon today, it's just making sure our members, their constituents, talk to legislators about what's important to agriculture. And, you know, earlier we had a presentation from Larry DeBoer, which used to be at Purdue, or now he's professor emeritus. And trying to dissect Senate Bill 1 is pretty complicated. I think you know that from after you scratch your head after hearing all this. And so trying to analyze that, making sure agriculture comes out all right on that, trying to just encourage investment in agriculture. And, you know, it's, you know, I don't know, no secret, agriculture struggling right now. And how can we help farmers? How can we help all farmers? But, you know, looking at the younger farmers too. I started in the '80s and we lost a whole generation of farmers. So just trying to be focused on, you know, maybe not hitting home runs, but hitting some singles on some things. So there's a lot of bills. We're in first inning yet. So this is the very beginning, and where we end up, we'll see, but there's some good bills. Representative Culp's got one on drones. And you know, if you're around the Jay County area, there's been a lot this past year when avian influenza broke out and drones flying around and questioning, did they carry that in or not? You know, I'm not saying one way or another, don't know. But, you know, somebody with drones shouldn't be flying over our private property without permission. So that's one of them we're looking at. How do we tweak some property tax things to help landowners? Others, there's just a lot out there. Township government reform is on the plate now. And what happens, what's being proposed will eliminate a lot of rural townships, the very small rural ones. And, you know, our membership's interested. We've always said, no, we want to maintain township government. But our policy changed in August and said we're willing to have discussions and look, how do you do it efficient? But we want to make sure that we're not moving some of the costs from our cities and larger townships to the small rural ones. So a lot of things we're looking at and trying to sort out, you know, like I said, in the first inning.
Well, and you mentioned some of the township government issues. I want to dig into that a little bit, because I think one of the major concerns there is potential annexation after that. And that's kind of what you're referring to. And that's where the taxes can go up there if you're paying both city and county at that point, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that we're going to follow that one and see. And we want to make sure we're not shifting tax burden to the rural communities. And, you know, what is it now? I call it poor relief. I'm old school, but public assistance, which is done, it's kind of emergency assistance in townships. If you merge with some cities or larger towns, you know, there's no secret, they have a lot more public assistance than we do in rural. So if you spread that evenly across others, the rural communities are going to be paying more. So we're keeping an eye on a lot of these things, see what happens. Just trying to protect agriculture and trying to get a single every once in a while.
I see carbon sequestration on this list again here for bills. Is this about property rights again? What is this about?
Yes, it is. And, you know, a few years ago, we had a pretty tough battle on the pore space and who owned it. And we got that one settled that the landowner owns the pore space. But now we're talking about pipelines and eminent domain, and, you know, are they a utility? Which I think our members have said that's not a utility. And if you want to put a pipeline in, they need to have a lease or an agreement with the landowners they're going through. But there's going to be a discussion and debate about that. Can ones using piping carbon use eminent domain? And, you know, there's a bill out there. Time will tell, but I can guarantee you we will be fighting on the side of private property rights and protecting our landowners.
And I know every time around this time of year, there's the call to action to make sure that your members, the grassroots members, are getting to the State House and meeting with those legislators, because it doesn't really get more impactful than that.
No, I think Representative Langman said it really well when he spoke here at lunch, and he said Farm Bureau does a great job. It's our members that do the great job when they show up. And, you know, I always say every day's Farm Bureau Day at the State House. We generally have some members there every day talking about the issues that's important to them. And, you know, it's not the lobbyists can back them up and help and reinforce and get to the details. But if they see constituents there and they care and they can explain how it impacts their farm, that makes the most difference. And that's critical. And that's how we get things done for Indiana Farm Bureau and for agriculture here in Indiana.
If folks are interested in coming to the State House, making their voice heard, what's the best way to go about it? Getting in touch with their County Farm Bureau?
Yes, absolutely. Or the regional manager. County Farm Bureau would be a good one. The regional manager. And we'll get you a day and we'll have people there. We do briefings in the morning to talk about what's going on, what's the current issues. And, you know, so you get some background to know what to talk about. And I would encourage everybody, if you're farming and what's going on in this state, you need to be showing up at the State House and make sure your voice is heard.
Randy Crone, Indiana Farm Bureau President, thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag Today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.